a part of it. Good. Welcome. Week three. We are at April 18th. Yeah. Long time. And my screen is right next to Mick, so I feel like we're twins. Shoot, I feel like we're Inspector Gadget Corner. Yeah. No, here. No, man. Here, you keep yours on. I'm good. There we go. As long as we're matching up. And good. Welcome. Well, I'm excited today. We have so much came up in that module, and the comments in the group have been great. So yeah. I'm here and fully ready to hear what's going on for you guys, where the challenges are, show you some more examples of what I've done with the connection challenge, with customized landing pages, the five-step sales funnel. And just to let you know, so we don't have to tackle a big piece of this on our live time, I have a full module that shows how I build the pages. For some of you, I know some of you probably know how to do it. You're already doing landing pages like that. And so those of you who don't need it, don't have to watch it. And I didn't want to spend our time doing that. Is that a new hair color, Meg? It looks awesome.
Why, thank you. Yes. Thank you for noticing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
For a second, you were right next to, till Alan joined, you were right next to Bree, and I thought some of her sweater jumped across onto you. Now that that's adjusted, you're still got that color.
I mean, there are a lot of magicians up here, so.
Yes.
Anything possible.
It could happen.
Yeah, definitely could happen. Well, good. All right, so I will leave it. Let me just leave it open kind of for a check-in for those of us who are here, kind of what's going on for you, where you hit some stumble blocks. I love that what's been come up in the Facebook group. I was on there late last night. Oh, and just one word of notice. You don't need to tag me. Trust me, that tab is always open on my – for 10 weeks, that tab will be open on my computer. I read every post that goes on there. And if you want to tag me, it's fine, but don't feel like I won't get to you if you don't. Hey, we get to see Renee. My gosh, webcam and all.
I was just thinking that myself.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Cool.
I made it work.
Yeah. So, you know, what's going on for anyone? Anyone wants to bring something live to the group and do a screen share, I'm fine with, or just kind of hear what's happening.
Yeah, I got a question.
Awesome.
I know that, you know, this new form of conversing is trying to, like, see if you're a good fit before you, you like, move forward on the contract. So with that being said, is that supposed to negate, like, negotiating? If you're kind of like going in the email and putting a fee, and then if they're not okay with the fee, you're just like, oh, you know, well, I know somebody who could be a good fit for you, like add value.
Pretty yes. much. I tell you, I so take the conversation. It's almost weird to talk about because I never think about it, but I want to put on my beginner's mind cap and kind of hear what this sounds like to you. It must just sound like fucking whack crack that I'm throwing out here. I mean, we're always like so around the price. What's the price? Let's talk about the price. How much does it cost? And what? And it's funny. I've just been so away from that world for so long that I want to just wrap my brain around that. But yeah, really what we want to do is always aim the conversation just to their benefits. What's going on for them? Be the first person in their life who actually listens to them and on this professional level to hear them. And let the price, I think I even have some in here where the price is just a line item. It's not even a... I don't even mention it. Sometimes it's on the fifth stage of the cycle. It's on the CVI. I can get all the way through that. And yeah, sometimes it's sticker shock. Like, holy cow, we had no idea it was that amount. You know, my first thought in my head is, you know, what is it that led you to think this was a $1,500 act? And I've madly missed, you know, was it the sixth TED talk? Was it the Tonight Shows? Was it 2,500 corporate dates? You know, what was it that thought made you think we can come to Louisville for $1,200? I'm not sure. But, you know, that happens sometimes, and what we get to do is practice and make connections with that and possibly hook someone else up. Possibly also, and the big piece that's come from that a handful of times is there's a level of embarrassment on their side. Like, I should have seen this coming. And to that extent, often I'll get a recommendation to someone, hey, talk to this person, this someone, and it opens up a whole new door. So we take the focus off having the price come up early in the conversation, and we allow the price to unfold naturally. And we're all the time being conscious of the screening process of who have they had in the past years? What's the venue at? How many guests are they having? What's their company sales? What's their, you know, in the case of a theater, you know, what's their season look like? Are they having comparable acts? So,
I mean, would they ever come back at you with like, maybe if you were asking for 10,000, like, hey, can you come in for 9,500? And would you do that? Or would you?
I just had one. Yeah, I just you know, my retirement is flexible for producers I love, but I just went all the way to the end with a client through the five-step sales cycle. I can even show you the email. It was great. Oh, no, she actually said it on the voice to me. But there was some silence. I checked in. I said, I went to the place where I didn't get a note back from this. It was someone we had worked for in 2009. And they said, basically every year since 2009, we've been trying to have what we had. And it's never, and it's been long enough for you guys to come back. So I had raised the price on it and there was no reaction to that. So I called her on the phone. It was in somewhere in Ohio. And I said, what's going on? She said, oh, I'm just embarrassed to ask, but we're like $500 short of your money. I said, oh, that's not really an issue. Yeah. So they said they had 12,000 or whatever. So yeah. So whatever, you know, I said, go back to them with that number and that's not a problem. But so yeah, it's not a, don't write me back.
It's just a,
it's the time that the money comes into the conversation in a respectful way. I mean, you think about it as buying a car. I mean, we have some idea of that sticker price because it's on the window, but we never know really what we can get the car for. The salesman's job is to help us fall in love with it, picture ourselves in it, you know, jump in, let's take a ride in it, look under the engine, you know, tell stories about the cars in your life. And then it's like, oh, let's talk about the price. It's, you know, it's there.
So yes.
Barry, may I interject something to that as well?
Go, please.
So, yeah, with regards to price, I don't know how many of you guys in the group here are solo acts or duos or whatnot, but I generally tend to work, you know, in groups. So, like, every gig that I do has to at least be a $10,000 sale to make it worth it, because I have five guys, five hotel rooms, flights for five guys. So I literally just got off the phone with a client right before this conference call. And the way I break it to him, I said, our performance fee is usually fairly flexible. I said, but the things that aren't flexible are things like flights and, you know, and hotels. Those things tend to go up. The sooner we can make this deal and the sooner we can get the, you know, like the deposit checks and stuff, the sooner I can work on saving you money.
Wow.
You know, so that's kind of been the way I've approached it, because I don't want the client to not hire us back, because Jesus Christ, it costs, you know, $5,000 just to fly him here. You know what I mean? So the sooner I can close the deal, the sooner I can save them money. And hopefully they'll pass the savings on to us. If they do, great. You know, sometimes they don't, but
yeah,
that's the way I've looked at it. I don't know, Barry, if that's.
That's great. Know. No, it's a great add to this. I mean, there are hard costs with this stuff. And the hard cost for me is getting my butt away from, family. And I just like, you know, I like being home. So that, but yeah, you're looking at five guys, man. That's the finances on that are for real.
Yeah.
So Barry, if I understand correctly, if they start to negotiate the price, because earlier I've been told if they try to get a lower price, you should either remove or add some stipulation to make sure that they don't feel that they can just negotiate the price at all times. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, Robert, really, in my mind, how much we're talking about. You know, are we talking about, you know, in the case of 12.5 to 12,000, it's negligible. You know, it gets lost in the wash. If it's, you know, a 50% discount, yeah, you have to start playing with, is it worth it for you to go? And then what do you want to bring to that? I never want any of us to look, and I get into this quite a bit down the road a little bit when we talk about appearance fees versus hourly. It's death. You know, we can never look at ourselves as an hourly performance. It's, I don't care. I got gotten to Puerto Rico for 6 minutes and I was on a bill with Penn and Teller, and I know they were 8 minutes. So they were like headliners, but you know, they wanted like six acts to do quick things. It was at a big UPS international sales conference, and yeah, but it doesn't matter. You can't charge hourly. It's all about appearance fees, especially if you're getting on a plane. It couldn't matter any less. So yeah. Robert, to answer your question, you know, look at you know, and also, guys, just build enough padding into your pricing where you can play around. Mm-hmm. You know, truth is, for a lot of years, I've been happy doing 10 grand at corporate dates. If they're in Las Vegas and they're quick and easy, I can be back in the morning. But yeah, billing out 15, 12, 5, 15, it's great. You know, a lot of times it works, and sometimes I go, hey, can we play around with that price a little bit? Yeah, wonderful. But building a pad delivers so much in advance through this five-part sales funnel that it's not really about the money at that time. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
May I chime in?
Jump in, my man.
Okay. Because they have the call. Can you hear me?
I heard you. Sorry.
I got a call from a client. I didn't know him, and it was kind of a more exclusive private party. And I was talking with him as I usually do, and I also try not to speak about the price because I usually send a quote and via email and some more information about me and what I offer and how I can help them to make a better event, to create a nice event. But after speaking about everything, he asked me at the end for the price. So, and you said never do it on the first call, but I did because I don't know what to do in this moment.
Fine.
So yeah. What to do?
Sure. I think I may have mentioned this somewhere. If not, it'll, I'm sure it came up in this module. Was I always answer that question with, I'm still trying to determine if we're a fit and I'm collecting information.
Yeah. I know. We did this already. That's
you got this. Point. Great. So then Renee, offer him. Do you have a little child in the back?
It's not mine. I think it's the one on the phone. I don't know who it is.
Oh, funny. That's funny. I thought I muted everyone. Oh, well, there's people I can't see over on the right. I got you. I was trying to mute everybody except, I'll kill that on the phone. So what I do at that point is I say, I'm going to get everything that we've talked about into a proposal and I'll get it to you within an hour, including the price. I just don't go into it on the phone. I just flat out refuse to. If they say, hey, I need a number, it's not my client. And then here's a great line you can always fall back on. And I've said this to people many times. I say, if price is the big factor, we're probably not a match. I got no problem saying that because it's absolutely true. I will never get gigs on price. There's all kinds of acts that will come in for less money.
Can you repeat the sentence, please?
I don't remember it. I just made it up. No, I'm kidding. I always say, I will have everything together for you in a proposal in your email within an hour, whatever it takes you to do. For me, I can do it in 20 minutes with everything. And then if they say, hey, I need a price on the phone, I need to tell my team, I will just tell them, if price is one of your biggest considerations, if you're pending this decision on price, we're probably not the right act for you. Very empowering. And you, man, with your website, you know, you look like a million-dollar magician. You should be able to say that. People should have to, you know, squeeze their balls up into their stomach to even ask you their price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not kidding, man. You got this. Do you guys see Renee's? I mean, it's funny. He's got this image on this thing of just like, you don't deserve to be looking at me. You know, it's just so great. It's really strong. Look at this. You can ask this guy his price and demand he tells you?
Ha, ha, ha. Wow.
You know? It's like, no, is this guy available? Not how much does he cost?
That's great.
Yeah. So, man, look at this guy's like, you know, nice. Billionaire dude you're impressing here, you know? It's great. So, you know, stand in that power, Renee. Boy, I really encourage you to hold the power of that. It'd be good for you. How did that end? Oh, so you gave him the price on the phone.
I gave him the price and he was impressed by it. He didn't imagine that. But I told him, as you suggested, and what I usually would do as well, I suggested him to, I could help him out with another performer who performs in the price range awesome. He has in mind, if he wants to. But he said, no, I speak with the people and then we will come back. Give me a week. This awesome. Is what he said. And we arranged to reconnect in a week.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, feed him some good stuff during that week, man. If you know his company or you know anything about him, just do a Google search, find something good, and even just make a mock-up of, you know, one of your great photos here where you're his product. Just keep feeding him during the week. Give him reasons to...
Yeah, give him something. I tried to figure out his email. This is a point I didn't do. I just took his phone number because he called me on the phone, and I had no reason to ask for email. But I should do that in the future as well. But I can try to figure it out because I have his name. I know his position, which company he is in.
Oh, good.
So I will make it up.
Yeah, very good, man. Congratulations. That's great. And, you know, there's probably some people in this group, even on this call, who give price on the phone and are comfortable with it. I will say that I will stand by the fact that it's weakening the position. And I'll also say if it really works for you and you're comfortable with it, you know, don't follow me on that. But I will tell you, it's something that a lot of people talk about because they don't know what else to say. In this system, we always have stuff to say. We always have value to give them. We always have ideas. We're coming from the position that we already have the gig. So the money doesn't matter, right? If we already have the gig, doesn't matter.
Hey, Barry, may I add something?
Please jump in. Everyone, just jump in.
The issue I've come up with fairly regularly is when people find you on sites like Gig Salad, you know, and those type of gig masters, you're kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, everyone's kind of on the same playing field there because everyone's looking at the same site. There's nothing that really differentiates, you know, you unless, you know, you put certain credits up there. And a lot of times the people that I get that are inquiries coming through those sites are all really, really, really low ball offers. Like, yep. You know, hey, you guys come to fly to Iowa and play for 6 hours for $500 and a case of beer. I mean, those are the kind of offers that are coming through, you know. And so, yeah, I definitely think, you know, having your own presence and directing people to that, you know, and where you look like $1 million, I mean, God, Renee's site, I mean, you're absolutely right. Who would be embarrassed to ask how much he charges
for that? Oh, hell yeah. I would just.
Great site.
I remember a dear friend of all of ours, Joel Bauer, whether you know him or not. I mean, just a legend in the industry. But he told me about this time when he yelled at somebody on the phone, "You don't ask how much I cost. You ask if I'm available." God, like top of his lungs screamed it as a client. And I could so picture him doing that. I never got to that point of yelling at somebody. But Danny's laughing. You know Joel, I'm sure, from the years of shows. Yeah.
Well, I've definitely, you know, I try to gently nudge the client and maybe educate them a little bit. So that's great. We're based out of this. You know, usually there are costs that, you know, involved in getting an act this size out that far. There's hotels and things. And they say, and I would love to. And then I try to steer them down the path of, I'd love to get those out of the way so we can, you know, secure this gig so we can save you some money. That's been my approach. But
that's great. That's totally from the mindset of, we already have the gig. Let's start working on making it, making it best. I love that you're coming from that place, Jeff. Sounds perfect.
Well, I legitimately, I'd rather them spend the money on us than spend the money, give the money to the airline. You know, I mean, why not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's great, man. That's so, so good. Good. What's coming up for some other folks around this stuff right now before I get into stuff?
I just wanted to say that, it's a difficult thing for me to do too, talk money. So I made up this kind of menu because I have several different shows. I've got, you know, this Her Way show, all different singers, and I've got Great Women of Country. And so I made up this menu of what it would cost if it's me and a pianist, then me and a trio, then me and a six-piece band. And started sending that out. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's fine. I mean, you have, just like Jeff, there's hard costs involved, you know, so you have to handle these things. The only thing I would just say is stay away from those on the phone. Include that as part of your proposal when you follow up.
Yes, right.
And you have a great reason. I mean, you have multiple things. I mean, even someone like me, I'm selling it. It's two-man comedy act, same two guys, same bucket of props. You know, there's fixed costs. Jeff's doing that with a band. You have some options in there. You have some menu options people can play with. So I think it's wonderful to have that very available to your prospects and be able to deliver it them on a nice looking sheet that matches your branding.
Right, right. Yeah. And I'd like to raise my prices. I'd like to raise my fee.
Yeah, I want you to as well. So, you know, let me dovetail this, Meg, with what Jeff was talking about the thumbtacks, the gig masters of the world. You know, as long as we're in that pool, in that pile of mud, we're going to be fighting with the others, you know? So the outbound stuff is so powerful, and it's a little bit counterintuitive, but really it's funny that it's counterintuitive because this is the easiest time in the world to get in touch with people, you know, just technology wise, what we have available to us, having a webinar, being able to use LinkedIn and harness that power to get in front of the right people, present them with a message. So it's crazy to me that, more of the world is an outbound, but there's a deliciously unsatisfying lie that's painted by the thumbtacks and the gig masters and the gig salads of the world. Is it speaker match? You know, all these things that people are flooding to see you there. They're flooding to see 1 million people, and we're in that. So you can't tell by now, I'm a huge proponent of finding events, plugging ideas into people's mind that they've never even imagined, and then doing the work to make it real for them. So, and you can do that just as well. Is it going to be a little more challenging in the theater world for you, Megan? Possibly. You know, they have avenues they're established and going through. You know, they have promoters, they have bookers who bring things in. I still stand for you that there's an opportunity for you to present shows in corporate arenas, which I know we're kind of playing with right now, but I think there's a great calling there for you, for Dorothy to do that. You know, you guys that have these self-contained shows that a producer may not yet even know about or know how to sell. You have the ability to sell that. Man, I'm going to make a note to myself. I would love to just jump online with either of you guys, do a training about corporate events that are doing things that have words like back to the classics, the divas. Every year there's a theme for these corporate events, and sometimes they're so remarkably stupid. But, you know, you go, hey, you know, we're all for one or whatever it is. So, you know, I've done that so effectively, marketing, looking for those theme names and just wrapping a silly little 5-step sales funnel around this message. You know, there's one for teamwork. And I was like, you can have someone come in and talk about teamwork, or you can hire and be entertained and educated by a living example, 34-year, a living example of teamwork. It was one of the easiest sales I ever did.
So. Wow, beautiful.
So yeah, really looking to match up with their theme, what they're doing. And you know, Mick's got that going with his crazy ass team over there, you know. Do you guys see this? They actually throw real knives at each other on a board. Like, it's not fake. It's really I'm so happy when I see you here on Tuesdays, Mick, that another week made it. You lived.
Well, we've got a couple shows this weekend, so we'll see.
Okay, yeah. You know, we'll have next Tuesday to judge it. But yeah, real stuff. But yeah, I mean, the power of that, of being able to show really, every corporate event wants to do something on risk management. That should just be the number one, number two, and number three piece that you go at with your act, with what you guys have.
You know, it's funny. We've never gone after that. It's, as you're saying it, I'm like, God, how stupid. This is how I feel about this whole thing. It's like, why didn't I think of this? There's so many things, you know, like the niche market. Like, why don't I go after my favorite things? And then module 3, I was the part about doing trade shows, because we're going after some trade shows. Yeah. And then Google the, you know, how you did it. Google just the map of the place.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Big clients, and then look at. So I'm overwhelmed by the information. Then I'm also like, wow, am I actually going to be able to do any of this? You know, can I handle this? Am I capable of doing it? Yeah. And then it's like, this seems so easy. Why the hell didn't I think about it? So I have all those things going on at the same time.
Three words, right on target. I mean, it's exactly where you are and should be for this, you know, and it's great. And don't spend an ounce of energy beating yourself up. Great to realize it, but also the risk management piece is huge for companies, you know, companies who do shipping, who do warehousing. I mean, just have you guys get up there and, you know, we're not experts in risk management. You're 40 minutes on a blog or with Risk Management for Dummies or, you know, a chapter. Read. Yeah, if you study for something for a couple hours, you're ahead of 90% of the world on this stuff. So grab a few elements, incorporate them into your act, and more importantly, incorporate them into a CVI, you know, into a little video. Get those in front of people who are doing trade shows, who are doing corporate events that have this theme, and you're not going to know what happens to you.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And Colin, you know, great room for people, you know, for boldness and kilts, but I know you're getting away from that, so it's all right. You're turning that off. I know. I get that. Cool. All right. Good. What else? Where do you guys want to go? What's left for people?
I have another question if nobody else wants
jump to jump in, man.
It's about the diffusing like a master part on day 5 and week 2. You said if there are some objections, you could answer, or I could answer with that's not a problem, just to diffuse the objection or something like this, yeah. and then start actively listening. So this is what was written down. But for me, it's a little bit confusing. If I say that's not a problem, and I just shut up. Why they should start to speak, because it was written that then I should actively listening.
Okay,
possibly. Is the prospect starting by himself?
No, not really. And possibly I didn't finish writing that out, or I didn't talk about it properly. I can review the lesson on that. My that's not a problem is always followed up by, I would like to give you some ideas that you may not have considered, whether you use me or not. That will spark conversation. Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you have in mind? Or what, you know, and then just get them talking again. Tell me about your event. What do you want people to feel? What do you want people to talk about on the way home? Mm-hmm. Monday morning when they're back at work. What would be a great sentence that you know someone was saying? So Yeah, I hope I didn't tell you guys just to leave it hanging after you say that's not a problem. That might be one of the most awkward moments in humanity.
All right. Okay. There is another part. Thank you for answering the question. And there is another part. Yeah. I have to read it because actually it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not a native speaker, so it just let me find it.
Yeah, this is good, man. I love that this is. We should probably talk about translating this all into German so we can show this blueprint.
You have like this. I just read it.
I think remove you can put it on your screen if you want. I think you can share your screen.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Just a second.
If you want, we can just look at it. I think down on the very bottom, there should be a green button that says share. Yeah, there you go.
You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's coming
remove
up.
Remove all assumptions. Sure. Use that infomercial mentality to get them tell you their truth.
Yeah.
Okay. What is infomercial mentality?
Good. Oh, man, I'm so glad to hear there aren't infomercials. Maybe there aren't in Germany. That's a huge boon for your culture.
I kind of know it, but
these
are these stupid TV shows in the night which run for half an hour and try to sell you a straw for 20 bucks or something.
Right. This nail clipper, you'll have dates of your life. Yeah, you know, just use this nail clipper. So, and what I meant by that, the infomercial mentality is there's always a host on those on those shows. There's always a pull the screen share so I can be live if I want to.
I can stop it again.
Okay, great. Yeah. So there's always a host on there who is they play the part of the most curious person in the world. And that's really what I'm aiming for you to be at. Tell me more about, you know, the guy will be like demonstrating cutting tomatoes and his buddy will the co-host will go, wow, I never thought of using a knife to cut a tomato. You know, or just something stupid like that. It's just the most insane questions, but it's just to keep the conversation going. Really what you're doing is feeding your prospect just that I'm curious about this. You know, you're inviting them to really be heard about what they would want to the next level. You know, you say, what do you want people to feel at your event? Oh, we want people to have fun. Great. That's one level. And it's not really anything you can work with. You want them to have fun. Has there ever been a time when you felt like your audience really hit that, you know, really where you felt that they connected with that? You know, there was this time. It's going to go a little bit lower. We had a band and they did some things. Everyone was dancing. It was just a great night. Second level, third infomercial mentality. At this one, you go, wow, what was the band doing that was so special? Just get them to keep talking. So it's really just about curiosity, Renee. That's where I'm heading with that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's funny. You know, I'd be so curious to hear back from you how that works.
Okay, I got a question.
In German culture. Yeah, I'd really be curious to hear about that. Okay, cool. Who said that? Somebody say, I have a question? No. Cliff? No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was you, Cliff. Hey, good.
It is. Is my audio coming through?
Yeah, yeah. A little busted, but I get it. Yeah. Uh-oh, we froze. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me try. I'm going to stop your.
I wonder if you'd be some ideas for event. Okay.
Sorry, I just turned off your video to see if it improved the audio. Go ahead again.
Yeah, is that any better now?
Yeah, with the audio, with the video off, it works better.
Oh, great. So you when you say on that to them, oh, that's not a problem. Just wondered if you'd be open to some new ideas. And then you get them talking. Do you ever have to actually share your ideas on the phone, or are you just getting information from them and then your ideas come later in the email, in the proposal? Well,
yeah, it's funny. The ideas are really, it's a side door into getting them to talk. You know, it's a side door into getting them to find out what's worked in the past. Where are they falling short? And if you said, I just want to find out, you know, what you've used in the past and where you feel like your event is falling short, they'll never answer you. But if you say, hey, would you be open to some ideas? Yeah, what are they? Well, what's worked in the past for you so well? Just that simple invitation is a whole different welcome mat for that conversation.
Right.
So, and hey, congratulations on your library thing too. And I love that you reached out and asked to MC that thing. That was really great to read.
Yeah, let's see how that goes.
I could tell that was
So it sounds like that's just a technique to get them to talk. Really? Do you ever get into your, do you share ideas on the phone?
Sure, absolutely. And I love, I love having a stockpile of ideas that we could go into on the phone. And if they say something that triggers, that tells me something, either a routine or a history, maybe I have a video of it happening at another show that I've done, you know, they say, oh, you know, our CEO has been made to feel like a fool at certain times. I'll go, oh, let me show you, let me send you a video after this conversation where we put the man who invented the TED conference onto a trampoline and threw bowling balls around him and talked about the four pillars of wonder that he's brought to the world. And we just happen to have that video sitting around, which is really nice.
Cool.
You know, and, but yeah, always, you know your inventory of what you have and what you can share. And then just also ideas that you can offer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Really good. Yeah, that's a great one. But yeah, you may get pressed for that on the phone, and it's wonderful if you do. You know, and even those things, like when it starts to happen that you get pressed back or you get some pushback or you get this, I don't care if you have to be pinching your hand or, you know, you're on the phone, you're poking yourself. Control the conversation. You know, keep the conversation at a pace that you want it to be. It's a really powerful time to hold that mantle. And also, it's a really easy time to lose it and turn into sales mode. Yeah, I know, Meg. Yeah. Great. Yeah. It's
really good. I was just thinking about, have you ever watched Home Shopping Network?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
People on Home Shopping Network, they could go for days and tell you the most ridiculous stuff, but make it sound so conversational, and it's just a steady stream, and then they know when to stop.
Yeah, then they know. Yeah, then they know when to, and they know when to inject the message of, you know, and you can get one, and the countdown timer. Yeah, that's a great study. Oh, my gosh. My grandma, bless her heart, she died at 97, maybe 10 years ago, but she used to tell me she'd, you know, I can't watch TV anymore. All I can watch is QVC because it's the only thing without commercials. So I just, the part of me that sold an act loved that. Great line. Yeah, good. All right, guys, what's up? Anything else you want to?
Yeah, can I just jump in for a second?
Please, hey, Ashley.
Yeah, so I had some wins. End of last week, I reached out to an old contact who I saw something on LinkedIn that he was actively involved in trade shows. Trade shows is the market that I'm trying to get into. So I picked up the phone, called him, success straight away. He managed to set me up with a meeting with his boss, who is one of the key decision makers. I attend the meeting. I pitch them. I show them what I do. It is unanimous that they were happy and saw the benefits. And then I was due to go in tomorrow for a final kind of closing the deal meeting. But unfortunately, the story doesn't end well. I got a phone call today that they passed it up the chain to their head office in the States, who has final sign off. They even approved the price I was charging, which is the most I've quoted on a show for a 2-day trade show. And it goes to the head office in America, and the lady who is in charge of the budget decides that, do you know what, I just don't like the idea, and pulled it. So I went from hero to zero in approximately 3 days. And I'll be honest, that's kind of stung, because I branded a lot of tricks up, really went in there for the meeting and, you know, gave a good account of myself. And in my head, I was thinking, well, that's the taking that action has almost yielded instant results that, you know, and now it almost seems, I guess my question is it possible to recover a decision like that when it's transatlantic and you never get any FaceTime with the with the booker or the authorizer?
So, yeah, I've been in that exact situation, man. And it's gone both ways. I've turned it around and I've just had to kind of settle with it. What's the relationship? And I know this is very personal to Ashley, but I tell you, we will all hit this. So let's just listen with our ears about what's in this for us. Ashley, how well did you know the guy that you first reached out to? You said it was an old contact?
Yeah, it was about 10 years ago, I used to do a lot of restaurant magic. And this guy was the son of the restaurant owner that gave me my first residency. So my first weekly show that kind of kickstarted everything. So he was, at the time, he was a waiter in his mom's restaurant. He's since progressed and become sales executive for a software company. And he's quite active on LinkedIn in the last couple of years. And, you know, I saw something in one of the on the program here that thought about, you know, cold calling people. And at the same day, he posted something about, it was just a picture of him at the trade show. So I thought, well, you do trade shows, I want trade shows. Let's see if we can go. And, you know, it was a quick message followed by a phone call, followed by a come into the head office for coffee. I've got my manager right there. And it just boardroom, you know, it just went, couldn't have gone better.
Damn.
Came out thinking, this is amazing. And then we were scheduled in for tomorrow for a 2-hour sort of creative session about how we can sort of their key business objectives and their key message, how can we can incorporate them further into the show for the trade show. And I got the phone call literally an hour before I jumped on this call that said, it's not a no forever, because she's coming over to the UK soon, so we can probably get you some FaceTime, but the only way we're going to get her to agree is if we actually show her what you showed us and show her what your thoughts about the project are. But unfortunately, you can't get that FaceTime until Q3. So, you know, I'm going to be
okay.
Potentially waiting for that.
So good. So that's totally savable. I mean, and thanks for that story on that. I think that's totally savable. Really, what I would do is, you already know kind of the points that they want to convey at this trade show that they'd like their audience to hear. You went in and heard about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, jump in. Look at the CVIs I made. You know, I have a template. I'll email you. I think, is it coming up this week? Yeah, I think it comes up in the training this week, but I'll just mail it to you. I'll put it up for all you guys to have. This, get a CVI in front of her. Give it to your friend and say, hey, this thing lasts 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Just watch it.
Okay.
And then you got nothing to lose at this point. If anything, you got something to really to gain for this year's and for the future. Just seeing that you're going to go to bed. And really...
Yeah.
Thread this thing even more than you see me doing this thing, then there's a reason that this is on the table right now. They've probably done trade shows the exact same way for how many years? Every time they've been at them, it's been a couple of guys standing around and someone calls them to talk to them, and you're talking about a radically different picture. So paint that, and man, go in hard with the CVI. Turn that thing around. You can do that. That's not over at all.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
That sounds like a great opportunity to like get and retain a long-term client. Seriously. Cause you've got this time now to show up in a way that I posted in the group chat. I said, they're sold on you, but she isn't. So you have now, you just have some extra time to sell her on how awesome you are. And then that'll turn into a long-term client, cause nobody's going to treat him as good as you're going to treat him.
Yeah. No, nobody. Thanks for that, Jeff. No, good advice. Thanks, Jeff.
Is the trade show taking place near where you live?
Well, it's in London. I'm probably an hour away. So it's...
Well, so what I do in those situations is, if I can get to the trade show and just press the flesh, say hello, meet the people, you can carry those magic tricks in your pocket, because the biggest problem for magicians selling up the chain, you start with people that have seen your work and they love you, but their boss and their boss's boss hasn't seen you. And they're saying, a magician at a trade show? We have nothing to do with bunny rabbits and top hats. What are you guys, nuts? You know, $5,000, $10,000 for that? And they don't get it. And it's my biggest challenge too, you know? So I completely understand. But what I would do is, get your ass in that trade show. Say hello to the people. The guy that you were dealing with is going to be embarrassed that he wasn't able to hire you. And there you are showing up.
It's great. You know? Great.
Yeah,
it's great, Danny.
And you know, the easiest way to sell yourself at a trade show is for people to see you. You know, I am sure that, you know, Barry would testify to the fact that, you know, when the booth across from you is quiet and you're bringing in all the crowds, it's such an easy sell.
Yeah.
And that's how I get most of my work, for people that have seen me work.
Yeah.
So you gotta get there, meet everybody. They're all going to love you. And this one woman is going to go, I killed the budget on this guy.
Yep.
And you know what? You might have an opportunity to do a little impromptu show right there standing without a sound system, without a platform, but still, if you can still stop just a few people, you know, she'll be able to see the potential of it.
Yeah. Do you know what, Danny, I'm going to thanks for that advice. I'm gonna hold myself accountable. So I'm gonna go and turn out. And it's the 8th and 9th of May. So it was a kind of a tight one to
get. That's a tight one.
So yeah, my diary's still blocked out for it. So I'm gonna show up.
Yeah, but when you're there, let them know that, you know, you're flying out of town the next day. You're not available, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to make it look like you're looking for work.
Absolutely.
You know, you had another show in London that night, you know, something like that, but you thought you'd stop by. But you're going to have to get into the trade show, though. That might be tricky. I don't know if it's a public show or a private show.
So I think this one is a public retail related one. So I think that's not going to be, I think great. Should be
okay. Maybe you're paying five or 10, you know, pounds to get in.
Cool.
And to make sure I'm held accountable, I'm going to deliver a selfie just for you guys on the group from that stuff.
Dude, way to go, man. I love it. I love it. And
now I have to.
In addition to that, I hope you'll take on the other challenge of doing the CVI and getting it in front of her. You'll be able you'll be able to see if where it was opened. I use what I use shows me some analytics information where they're at, and if I put a Google code on there, it'd be pretty amazing to see this is all going around UK, and then all of a sudden you see somebody open it in where are they, in New York, Chicago, or something? I forget what you said then.
London. Yeah.
No, but the USA.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure where the head office is.
Okay.
It was
Nice to see when that open happens though over there. So. All right, good, man. Excellent. And I'm excited and sorry it went that way, but that's good for you for jumping in and digging in. So
you would suggest just showing up to public trade shows and maybe researching like 3 different companies and going up to them and doing an impromptu performance to show them the value that you could add in that moment?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, do it, Danny.
Just the panel, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he's been there.
So yes. I have been there, and I have marketed myself that way. And I got 2 Fortune 500 clients doing that.
Wow.
And it's a guerrilla technique, certainly. And it's really hard. But, you know, but better than cold calling.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because so many things can happen. You know, you can, for magicians, you know, a juggler could do it too. You know, anybody, any kind of visual artist, a caricaturist could do it. But being able to walk around and you have to get into the show, and that's an issue sometimes. You know,
if they're public trade shows, is that that's a possibility?
Yeah, so there's 5 different kinds of trade shows. I won't go into all that, but one of them, you're right, there's a differentiation between these private shows and a public show, like an automobile show, a Comic-Con show, a boat show, are all public shows, and there may be a small fee, you know, under $50 and probably under $20, you know, and there's probably ways to get in for free if you spend some time on the internet in advance. But you know, you have to walk around, you have to be properly dressed, and you have to make the client come to you. So you go into the booth, look around like you know what you're talking about, and just wait until someone says, well, can I help you? And then, you know, you go from there. You say, you know, it's kind of quiet here in the booth. You know, I'm here to fix that. here's what I do. And you launch into it. And I usually talk verbally first, and I make them beg for me to do a magic trick. What do you mean you do magic tricks? Well, here's some pictures on my iPhone. You know, here's a picture of me at a booth. Here's a picture of me at a booth. See all these people gather around? That's what I do. You know?
Oh, awesome.
And an iPad is better than an iPhone to carry around because the pictures are bigger, you know, you can scale it a little bit.
Right.
And I'm going to draw these crowds for you like this. And
God, man, that's beautiful, Danny. I got challenged to do that once at a show. I was already in, man, and it was so fun. And all I did was grab their flyer sheet that they expected their people to go by and take. I walked around for a few minutes, learned the top 3 things that they wanted them to And then I had three ping pong balls, and then I went and talked to somebody. I said each one, and then I juggled three in my mouth. Crowd was huge, and they went, "Oh my God, what did we just see?" I said, "You just saw a lot of people laughing while they heard what you expect them to read on this sheet."
Wow, awesome!
Yeah, so, yeah. And you don't even have to pick up the sheets. In most booths, the signing is right up there with the bullet points, and that's all you need. There's going to be a slogan, you know, like. You know, I'm working with a client today. I was talking to a client, and their slogan is "Embed analytics everywhere." You know, so you know, I'll just go up and start performing. I'll say, "Well, if you think this trick is amazing, wait till you see how our company can help you embed analytics everywhere."
Right.
Here at ABC Software, you know, and you kind of do that to just show them how this information can be integrated.
Yeah, I may have just dated my. I think I dated my story when I said I picked up their fly sheet. I did. And that was quite a while ago. Yeah.
I still have them.
Is there a certain volume you have to be under to like not bleed into the other booths or something? Are there like decibel caps at the trade shows?
Some.
Yeah. That stuff's pretty well monitored, but
yeah,
it depends on the show. You know, if you're at an audio visual show, a show for the AV industry, then there's not.
Yeah.
At the automobile, at the car show, or the National Automobile Dealers Association show, which is, you know, walked by people who own car dealerships, and any company that sells anything to a car dealership is exhibiting. There's not. Very loud. Some shows are very loud. You know.
Yeah, I've seen Stomp at trade shows. I forget what show it was.
Yep.
Google had them on a massive stage. That was a good gig. Yeah.
So that varies tremendously. It's something to research.
Yes.
Sometimes they don't even allow sound systems.
Yeah.
I work 5 or 6 shows a year that don't have sound, no sound allowed.
Without a mic. Wow.
And it's harder. But if I draw a crowd of 5 to 10 people, that's considered big. It's at least small shows with 20 to 50 booths. I mean, with less than 1,000 people in the room. Right. So.
Yeah, and usually very high high cost items they're selling. You know, if they're selling $100,000 enterprise software system.
Yeah, exactly.
That's bring me five selling. Leads. You know, we're good.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Good. Yep. They're happy. If they get like 100 leads over 2 days would be considered good.
Yeah.
Wow. That is incredible.
So there's, you know, is an interesting statistic about trade shows. I don't know if I mentioned this here, but. I do about 25 to 30 a year. It's my thing. There's 700 trade. I don't know if you know this, Barry. I met a guy who owns trade shows. He owns about 50 trade shows. He runs them. And he saw me at a trade show. He sees me every year at this trade show. We always chat. And I said, "So how many trade shows are there?" He said, "There's 700 trade shows in the United States." Every week.
Every week.
What?
Every week. What? I know. And I was stunned. I go, "How can that be?" He said, "Well, wait a minute. When we think of trade shows, we're thinking McCormick Place in Chicago.
Yeah, Moscone Center.
Yeah. Moscone Center. You know, there's 13 major trade show venues in the United States. But now there's all the smaller ones. There's the ones in Kansas City that I've never been at. There's a convention center in Kansas City.
Right,
there's a convention center in Minneapolis. I've never even been there.
That's a nice one.
And you know what?
A built-in stage.
Right. Thanks for doing the math, Sven.
And then there's also, you know, trade shows for this guy counts as, you know, the Association of Parent Teacher Organizations in the city of Des Moines that meet once a year at the Holiday Inn. And you know what? There's booths there.
Yeah.
It would be a great place for a performer to start.
Yeah, to get the sea legs.
What this is like. You're not going to be getting big dollars, but it doesn't matter. You get to perform what's essentially a street magic show, you know, for people walking around and moving. And you have to still stop a crowd and engage them.
Absolutely. It's wonderful training ground. Wow. So. Yeah.
Especially for video, too.
Great for video. Yep.
And you can still get a video there, right? You know, it's going to look like a smaller venue, but you know what? They still work. What are you holding up, Barry?
These little FoPros. four of these and two shows at a Holiday Inn, you have a trade show video that's at least playable.
Right. Barry, I have a question written down. Just when you're holding it up reminded me. You mentioned on one of the modules, I think, that there's like a less than $50 kind of a camera that you used.
I think someone said they were on back order. I have a few of them I haven't even opened because I just bought a bunch of them.
What are they called?
Was it SJ Cam?
Sports. Are they like a competitor to GoPro?
Yeah, it's a knockoff. But man, the video is stunning on them. Yeah, here I'll put the link in the. They're stunning. The link's in our group. It's in our Facebook group somewhere.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, I think if you look up the word faux, because I call them faux pros, but.
FAUX.
Yes, I think that's GoPro. What I call.
Okay, thank you.
Oops, I hit the wrong group. Yeah, but boy, I tell you, and I didn't see who said that, but yeah, you want to get some video, you want to get some initial video that then you can then wrap around some pictures, some screen, a voiceover, and at least be able to say, hey, I've been at a trade show. It's crazy not to do this.
Wow, awesome.
Okay. I don't know where our little search box seems to be missing on our page. Is that something Betsy turned off? Strange. Okay. Oh, search this group. They moved it over here. Who guessed? You go to Facebook and they made a change. It's pretty much every day. Search this group is on the left now. FAUX. Yeah, here it is. It's Bree put up that comment originally. I'll just put this link in here. Someone said they were not shipping to Canada or something, but yep. Yeah, I'll put it in the chat box right here for us.
Real quick, I'd just like to share this this inquiry I just got that feels straight out of the Showbiz Blueprint playbook.
Let's do it. I love it.
I feel like I just got incepted a little bit. It says, hello, I'm writing from Providence. We are planning our third Providence Fest and you are on my mind. All right. Then she goes, you have performed here every year and it's been awesome and we really appreciate you.
You ever been to Providence?
I have, yeah.
Okay, that's you. They're not writing to somebody else.
No, but just the lines like, we really appreciate you and like you are on my mind. It's just like, it's like straight out of what you've been teaching us.
Feels good to hear, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does feel good to hear, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
So I think you got that one again if you want it.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Don't oversell that one. Sounds
good. Yeah, right.
Maybe a price raise and a piece of some action. I don't know what you can do there, but
yeah, right.
It's funny, you know, the people who really thrived in the Renaissance festivals back when I worked them in 82, 3, 4, and 5, they're still there. Puke and Snot, Fox, you know, Rogoff and Fool, these guys who were able to have booths. I mean, Puke and Snot, great act, best name, best act ever in the world.
Yeah.
They were my master's program. The two guys that did sword fighting, the Shakespeare for Transients. But they turned a part of the fair into Puke and Snot Land. And man, every weekend was a high five, possibly six figure weekend for them with selling beer.
So,
you know, is there something like that in Providence for you to be able to, you know, if you've been there a bunch of years, to make it a little bigger stake for yourself?
Right. Yeah.
We're carving out a little empire at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. You've got our show, we've got a knife throwing booth, and then we've got we sell merchandise, t-shirts, videos, but then we also bought a chocolate business out there. There was a guy who was right next to ours. And so it's kind of, that's a good money maker for us now.
Well, it's huge value to add to the Renaissance festivals as well. It's like, what a package that
is. Yeah. So brilliant. I remember talking to Mark, who's Puke. And I said, man, this is incredible what you've done with this gift shop. And he goes, you even have Puke and Snot shakers. And he goes, Barry, that's salt and pepper. And I was like, oh my God. So they had their pepper and salt shakers. They just bought them, but everyone's like Puke and Snot shakers.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was just incredible. You know, so I mean, that was looking for opportunity in a really big way. Mm. I don't even know if people got home before they realized it was pepper and salt, not Puke and Snot, but didn't matter. You know, just nuts.
It's great.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah, and it's a good lesson for all of us. I mean, to see what Colin's got. You know, you got these people writing him. You know, basically that's a, are you available? Do you still like us letter? And it's a great opportunity for us to say, hey, what's in this for me? How can I spend some of that capital that I've, you know, the clout that I've built up at this place?
Connection capital.
Yeah, connection capital. There probably is some there. So, but is that just a weekend thing or a one day or?
Yeah, just a one day thing.
One day, yeah.
Big festival.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Good. So,
so Barry, I was trying to see how you differentiate between when you deliver your proposal that, you know, when you turned a PowerPoint into a video, right, that we all watched. Mm-hmm. I assume most of you watched it within the past couple of days.
Yeah.
But then when do you get feedback? Do you insist on a phone call or video conference before you quote a price?
Yeah, I mean, it comes up for them to move through these five stages of this five-part sales funnel. There's some communication that happens there, and it's definitely not all written. I don't try to think if I've ever done one I've done them just from writing through producers that already know me, because, you know, then it's easy. I say, hey, if I can.
Yeah, I'm talking about more with I don't really deal with producers. So I deal with the trade shows, and I've just been hitting walls recently about people who see me. They love me at the show. They get excited. They kind of go, well, what's like a ballpark figure? And I give them this, I don't want to not answer their questions. So I give them, well, it's going to be more. There's a lot of factors that enter into it, but it's going to be more than five and less than 10, you know? Right. And I said, I don't even know what show you're talking about yet or where it's going to be, you know? So I give them that. And then they usually go, oh, that's fine, you know? But then, they don't follow up with me. I follow up with them. I see if they want a proposal, because I know what kind of show they're going to do usually, because I'll do my research. And here's the thing for everybody that I don't think Barry covered. You know, what Barry did, which I thought was cool, Barry, and I do the same thing, is you went to a trade show, you clicked on a booth, and then you learned about the booth. You can also do it the other way. You can go to a company and look on their website for events.
Yes.
Sometimes it's usually in a drop down menu, yep, like under the about the company. And then it'll list the events that they attend to. Sometimes those events are even broken down into like meetings and conventions, you know, internal events and external events. But you can find the events and then find the trade shows they go to. Then you can search those trade shows to find out where they are. And maybe if there's one near you, that might be something to approach.
Absolutely. Great way to do it. I just jumped over to GoPro just to kind of find one of those real quick. But yeah, sometimes it's under the news. Sometimes it's under the about us. And yep, they'll have events. Yep. But yeah, I mean, if you have a great idea for GoPro, go find out all the shows they're exhibiting at, because there's a lot of them.
There are.
Google, I mean, you've probably seen this, Danny. Google is at every trade show in the world. It doesn't matter if it's auto parts. Doesn't matter if it's bus. It doesn't matter. There's always a Google booth.
There's a lot. Yep. There's a lot.
I've been to so many.
You will see that. I mean, you'll see very large companies will do 100, 200 trade shows a year.
Yep.
And they have, and that could just be one division, you know. Yeah. Sure. It's crazy. But Barry, my question was, you know, I send the proposal. I asked them, would they like a proposal? And they'll say yes. And my proposal is all written. I loved what you did with the video.
Okay.
I want to learn how to do that. But there's this time period now between the proposal and the event, and they all have to get together and make a decision. And I feel like I'm losing the momentum, the excitement they had when they first saw me. Now, it goes down. And what do you do to keep that excitement up? And do you ever say, here's the proposal. I need a decision within 2 weeks. And then I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I'm not available after that.
Absolutely. You have to,
do that.
Yep. Things need an open and a close date. You know, there's a cart open and there's a cart closed. You go to a Walmart and everything's sitting on the shelf. You don't buy it. But, you know, when there's a special offer ends at midnight, if we want that, we buy it. So, you know, how that works in, there's some things that happen after the five-step sales funnel. I'll get into those with you. In fact, we can even just look through some of it now. But it is a series of – I have to know when they open it. I mean, I always send that through something that's trackable. You know, either the email comes back to me that says I opened it, or I use the analytics on Instapage. I have to know when they open it and how often they're opening it. Are they forwarding it to someone else? Is it being opened by a couple of different IP addresses? All great stuff to know, because if it is, they're pretty excited about it. And then I will get onto an email or onto a phone call with them. And first thing I'll just say is, I just want to make sure you got this thing and it's being opened if I don't hear from them. Even though I'm seeing the opens, I know it. Let's just get them to raise their hand. Yeah, we're watching this thing. We've passed it around. Are there any questions you have? Anything not clear from the proposal? And then go right into acting as if, especially in your world, Dan, we can all do this. We can all take them right into the moment of the event. Because, you know, if people are asking you about price, a great redirect for price in a trade show is, you know, price is one thing, but really, how could we maximize the setup in your booth so the most people can be around? Get them talking about what their booth looks like, because on a short lead like Ashley's talking about, I guarantee you they got a floor plan. They already know what they're doing. One of the problems may be, where are we going to stick this guy? Every square foot may already be spoken for. But if you're early in the process, like you're talking about, Danny, the right. way more interesting conversation is, how can we maximize every minute that I'm on the trade show floor?
Mm-hmm.
That puts it back on them. So yeah, I really would try and get them out of thinking about, yeah, there's an expiration date, but what's the quickest that we could start talking about really how I could be most effective in you meeting your goals at this trade show? Because, man, you know the numbers what people spend at trade shows. It's an exorbitant sum of money by the time they have a booth and electricity to it. And
even a small trade show, you know, that they really can't get in for less than $20,000 by the time they've paid for their expenses. And yeah. such, you know, even a tiny booth, you know, 10 by 10 foot booth.
And it's like, oh, you want padding under your carpet? You can't bring anything in. So everything's a rental, the electrical boxes, the water, you know, everything's a rental. So
my favorite one is the garbage basket, the waste basket that they provide you, which is a folding cardboard waste paper basket with a baggie inside, you know, it's $20 a day.
$20 a day.
Do the big companies like Google, do they always have an entertainer?
No.
Most booths, it's not like a kid's. So the short answer is no.
No,
But the slightly longer answer is 99% of trade show booths do not have an entertainer.
Oh, geez.
Yep.
So you have been, you clearly, you need to go to a trade show and walk it.
Yeah.
What city do you live in?
Austin.
Oh, God. I've been in Austin twice in the past 6 months.
No, Boston.
Boston. Yeah. Oh, well, Boston has two beautiful convention centers. The Heinz Convention Center and the new one. You need to just go to the convention center website, see what events are happening there, and go.
Wow.
Just walk around. Put on a suit and tie and walk around.
I just don't understand why they wouldn't have entertainers if, like, they're adding value.
Because what Barry says, is, are you open to new ideas?
Yeah, and well, I was going to point to Ashley. It's because someone down the chain will like it, and it's somebody we all stop before talking to the person who can make the decision. So that's what I'm not letting Ashley do, and he's agreed to not let that happen. But you know, there will be people who love the idea. But yeah, I mean, what Danny said, show up. Have something, play, have those conversations, but really just take it in, because it is amazing. Big ones, you know, CES, Net World Interop, RSA, you know, some of the big beastie ones that I've been at over the years.
And they will have more entertainers. Barry, like in the mid-1990s, I wrote an article for Genie Magazine. I was in Vegas doing a small trade show, but the big trade show, Net World Interop, was there.
Yeah.
This was enormous back then. Barry will remember there were circus acts in some booths.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Much bigger than Barry. I mean, people, they put rigging up. There were people hanging from trapeze.
Yep. Cirque du Soleil's had booths at those.
Yep. And I took a camera and I did an article for a magazine, and I photographed, the title of the article was Magic at Trade Shows, you know, and there were 27 magicians at this trade show, but there were 1,000 booths.
Yep, still zero. Wow.
The 27's nothing. Mm-hmm. And there was 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you start to do the math. So if a magician, even a it's doing great at a booth, is drawing 100 people an hour, which would be enormous for a magician. And the trade show is open for 3 days for 24 hours. So it's 24 times 100, right? That's only 2,400 people, but there was 100,000 people. Yep. So he's reaching 2%. And that would be considered great.
That's huge success, yeah. And to get leads out of a handful of those.
So. Yeah. If you're interested in this, you know, I would suggest walking a trade show in your, you know, city.
And I think to your point, Colin, the question you were asking that I think, you know, plays out across all the different things that everyone here is considering approaching is that the people who are hiring us don't have the same imagination that those of us who have pursued a career in the arts and entertainment have. And very often, they can't conceive of the things that we can, and they cannot, they literally don't have the brain that thinks in that way. And so it's very much on us to paint the picture as clearly as possible to show them these new possibilities. But you always have to remember that so many of these people that we're trying to sell to can't connect the dots in the same way. They can't make the extrapolations in the same way. If they see me in one costume, they can only imagine me ever wearing that costume. So I have to send them a photo of myself in the costume that I'm going to wear for them for their specific event. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to paint the picture as clearly as possible to make the sale.
Love it.
Awesome.
And we focused a little bit on this conversation around in-booth entertainment, but I just want to also offer every trade show, and I won't say every, but everyone I've ever been at, why don't I have that? Every event will have other events happening at the trade show that are completely open and they just don't know right now that they can use them. A quick list of those includes a banquet, like a nighttime dinner, an award ceremony, great place for either an MC or to break up the night of speeches, morning breakfasts that are sponsored by one of the big companies. They'll have a big, you know, Google sponsors breakfast and go in there. I've done half a dozen of those, most recently for Toyo Tires. It was like at the American Car Parts Association. They're a big trade show. But Toyo Tires wanted to sponsor a breakfast, brought us in. We did a 20-minute show at breakfast. It was unbelievably fun. MC work, breaking up long times and speakers. There's general sessions at these things and open doing a short act to open up a general session. Powerful way to show up at a trade show. You have a big captive audience that's all gravitating around a common denominator, and it's a great chance for customization for getting in front of them and giving those people who want to sponsor events another opportunity.
Those are very different, you know, when you're approaching the selling there's very different types of people. One is the person who's running a trade show booth that's different than approaching the organization that's running the trade show itself. Mm-hmm. So what Barry's example, he was talking about a trade show called APEX, AAPEX, Automotive Parts Expo, I think is American Automotive Parts Expo, which is a fall show in Vegas that is huge. It's a huge show. 50,000, 100,000 people are there. But, you know, so he was working for a company, Toyo Tire, that had a sales meeting. So he wasn't entertaining customers, maybe a few, but it was mostly an internal event for the sales guys who were working the booth who had a breakfast meeting. Right, Barry?
That's actually a third option, Danny. I mean, I was talking about Toyo actually sponsored a breakfast for the conference.
Uh-huh.
So I found out that they were a sponsor. I got in touch with someone at Toyo through a LinkedIn connection and just said, you guys are having this thing. What are you doing to sponsor? They said, we're sponsoring a breakfast. I said, so what, you're going to have table cards? And I said, let's come in and do a fun show. So I ended up standing on top of four big Toyo truck tires and juggling five balls off the ground in the middle of the tires. but you know, talking about tires. But yeah, this was just them sponsoring the breakfast. But another
not in the exhibit hall, in a separate room.
Right. It was in a big breakfast room. But then there's also what you brought up, which I didn't even think of. But yeah, they're doing a customer appreciation, yep. and I did one of those in San Francisco at RSA.
And then they have events in the evening. There's parties at night. Oh, so
beautiful place for RSA. I did one for them. Oh my gosh, yeah, big fancy restaurant. So. But yeah, those are all possibilities. Everyone on here, group, band, magician, juggling act, whatever you want. It's us literally doing what Sven said, not making them connect a single dot, man. No dot connecting for corporate people who are pushing buttons. Our job is to utilize the assets we have to creatively. The stuff I'm showing you here as far as making it a concise message that paints a picture for them. And then the scalability piece of this, always collect the assets, you know, the assets you do, like the template for making a video. It's like that thing changes almost zero. In fact, here, I brought a few of these up. Let me just show you this. This thing changes almost nothing. I just brought three up, but this is the exact same one. I think this is the one I shared with you. Here's one that we did up in Seattle at a winery for Microencoder. You know, all the changes is this video and this little graphic right here. That's it. And here's another one we did for Deloitte Analytics. Everything else is the same on here. Yeah, I changed this name, but these are the assets you collect so that you can just stamp these things out as fast as you find out an event's happening.
So would you say 98% of that video is the customized video is like canned?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Great.
Yeah. There's a handful of things that change in it. You know, this connection, I'll give you guys the PowerPoint.
Are you going to teach us how to make those videos?
Yes. In fact, I think it's probably coming out in a day or two. There's just like a midweek webinar. It's
awesome.
A training. And I have the alumni have done the greatest things in the world with these templates, made them fancy. And I still like till the end of my really using them hardcore, just went with this basic, you know, boring, you know, I'd be kicked out of any art school for running something that looked like this. But you know, it became very easy for me to customize, to jump in and just know what I need to change. 98 may be a high number column, but I bet you it's in the 90s.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. And you can see on these pages, these things always look exactly alike. And they're mobile friendly, they look great on the phone, and they're you know, just ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Contact information I think is on here if it's from, yeah, I've been in contact with them, so I don't even have these. So these are the scalable assets of this thing.
This is all really great stuff, and the one thing that's kind of going through my mind, especially with regards to showing up at these trade shows in person, is you know, if you're a band, like, I mean, it's one thing if you're a solo act or a magician or something cool, but if you're a band, now I'm also an agent though. I mean, I work with an agency here in Vegas. So, I mean, I could very much go by myself and pitch, you know, all the different acts we have, you know, so I could do that too, but I'm trying to connect the dots with that. So, I mean,
yeah.
Jeff, I have a suggestion. At a lot of these trade shows, there is an opening. At the opening of the trade show, there is some kind of, often there's like a band or a musical group that walks through the whole trade show. It's very typically like, I've seen bagpipe bands. Seen like dancers, like, I don't know, not tap dancers, but like Irish.
The river dance people.
Yeah, like river dance people. We were just in France, and there was a group of people that came through singing. It was a small conference with just a few hundred people there, really. But they opened it. It was very French. It was delightful and charming.
Yeah.
And
really French.
And so there's what else have we seen in New Orleans? There's always a Mardi Gras kind of.
There has to be, right?
Goes through.
Demanded. Yeah. Interesting.
So those are some ideas.
Mm-hmm. Let me just suggest for the folks who aren't a self-contained act, who, you know, this stuff makes sense for, look for the sponsors, you know, look for the people who are just, you go to these trade show sites, see who's doing the gold sponsorship, the platinum, the level. Those are the people that you make the proposition to.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, is it, it's a rich world. They are dying for ideas. I swear, Toyo Tires was getting ready to pay all this money for a breakfast where they had their table cards basically on the table. That was their idea of sponsoring. And I said, no, do something that actually makes it memorable. No, you're not doing that. And, you know, coming from the place I've already got the gig, and it was very easy to paint the picture for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yeah, cost them a couple grand more, whatever, it doesn't matter. There's already a stage in there.
Well, you talk a lot about, especially on this past module, about automation. And I think that, like you said, for acts that aren't as self-contained as a magician or a juggler or something like that, a lot of it is going to be, at least what I'm hearing, is making the connections, providing them, you know, some sort of a valuable connection, value-based connection, and then following up using automation,
yep,
you know, as much as possible, and tailoring it to that specific client, that somebody that you're really targeting, wanting to work with, right?
Am yes, I hearing correctly? Exactly, yeah. And I think we all have to do that same thing, Jeff, to some extent, is, you know, the automation can be in the communication stuff, but even like the sales funnels, the five part, there's still pieces you need to go, I think I may be a week ahead because I'm, did a module for the week ahead, but yeah, even when you bring up the templates, there's still a piece you have to stick in about the city or that.
Sure.
Let me share one thing with you. Let me bring up a screen for a second. I just found out from Betsy that this was not set up properly, but it is now. All these funnels, let me log in as my, I have an account where I'm a 2017 guy, so it doesn't all show. I can't get into it, but still. Maybe I can't. Let's see. Yeah, this is it. So this just got added, these funnel sheets, and these will be here every time we unveil a funnel.
Okay.
I looked on. I said, Betsy, these aren't on here. She goes, oh, my God, these have to be added. So, yeah. So these get added here. So this will be filled with 6 or 7 funnels by the time. Oh, God dang it. I can't aim. There we go. Sales funnel. So these things will, these actually walk through what each email does.
Okay.
So if you were taking notes on that.
Might I ask a somewhat technical question that may have already been covered?
Maybe, yeah.
So we're talking about these funnels, obviously you have to get the names and email addresses in it. So that's all lead generation stuff. I mean, yep. Is that what we're talking about? So we're building these funnels now. Essentially, we're constructing these funnels on the back end, and then we're going to be working on lead generation later on. I mean, I guess what you and Danny were just talking about, going to a trade show, that's a hell of a way for getting lead generation right there.
Just doing the stuff that I talked about in week one and week two, you know, finding out events that are happening and then making the conversational call. That's one form of lead gen. There's electronic ones, which I just got the most incredible guy who's going to come on and do a module for us about lead gen, content creation, and SEO. We're going to do it. It's going to be live. It hasn't even been done in Showbiz Blueprint before, but I just landed him to really do this and keep it aimed at what we do. So we'll be doing that one live. You guys will be the voices on the recording for that one. Let's see. So I have the templates kind of set up. Let me just show you one thing here. Let me do one thing here. Let me bring this over. And I just want to show you, this is something I'll be sharing in the next piece here, is if we compose one here, I come down here and I type semicolon and then post. So this is how I do a post booking funnel. I think I can make this a little bigger. Let me see, I got to put this email in first. So this is, you know, this is like a post booking funnel. I just do post and then 1, 2, 3, and 4. So these are all written. But I do need to come in here and just put, you know, the name in Nashville or the name of the city or the name of the person.
Yeah, yeah.
But most
does that
of it,
just populate? Does that populate with your already preset autoresponder messages? Is that what?
Yes. Yeah. So wow. I just do this one post too. So, this is the second in the post booking funnel. So after you sign the contract, there's a 4-part funnel. I think.
And those go out automatically. That's the sequence. That's the automated sequence. You just set it.
Then I just. Wow. I hit schedule on this and I schedule to go out later. This one's 4, 3, 2, 1 weeks before the event.
That's Boomerang or that's Mago?
This is Mixmax I use.
Mixmax?
Yeah.
So. Okay.
But I, as I say in this module when I teach it, I said, oh my God, I'm so uninterested in the tools. There are a million tools to do this thing.
Yeah, I love the tools.
Yeah, I know.
A question. for those of you that do like these customized shows, how much of the show do you usually customize?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a good piece. Anyone else wants to answer that? I'll certainly have an answer I have for that.
I just told an agent, no, we couldn't really customize an order. Literally on this call, I had to hop off and take a phone call, and they were asking about multimedia for this, you know, party gig, and I had to tell her, well, we could, but it's tied into like the regular show, so there was kind of not a way to customize it for her. I told her I would certainly send some stock footage, and we can see come up with something, but it's hard to customize, you know, kind of like sometimes it's hard to customize bands, especially if they're like a specific thing. But yep, that's a great question, Robert. It is.
Yeah. We try and customize just about probably it's like 10 or 20% average. A lot of times it's just lines or routine, looking at their message, what they're trying to convey.
Yep.
But you know, we all three of us, one of our guys is a comedy writer, and he can write a script for a show in an hour. So, you know, we have that advantage. He loves to do it. So
that's so nice.
But building in, I guess one of the things that we do after we book a show is, now I'm learning we should be doing before, but we get their information, like who's their competitors, you know, what are the names of some of the people, what are key products they're trying to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, we bring all that stuff up and try and work it in. And we all have kind of an improv background. Nice. And so we also, you know, we just get all that, we study all that information going into the show, so then it comes really easy to bring it up during.
Awesome.
Especially almost every event, every company has their key phrase, their tagline for, you know, like McDonald's, I'm loving it or whatever. And if you can work that key line in to the show in any way or a number of times, they feel like you've totally customized it for them.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't take much to have an impact like that.
It takes almost nothing.
Oh, this question here is great. We have something similar.
Good. Yeah. This is, I'll share this with you guys. I'm sure it's somewhere coming up in the modules, but if you need it sooner, these are the questions. Every one of these questions works into 12 jokes in our 1 hour show. The answer to this gets plugged into a punchline of a joke. So this goes out to them on the post-show booking funnel that I just showed you in the email number 2, it gets attached. They fill this out. And then these are just the answers. You do 12 jokes in an hour, it sounds like you wrote the show for them. And I would argue, Jeff, that I've never been in a band. I have a ukulele here. I won't embarrass myself by playing, but that's as far as I go musically. But I would argue that in the transitions, you can't customize a show in a remarkable way.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a cover band, a Beach Boys, you know, or you know, whatever you happen to be doing. Really, I would think there's a way, you know. And is the whole show going to be customized? No, but you know, these 12 answers, I tell at the end of an hour show, a lot of times people say, you guys must work for the company, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So there may be some way to do this. So, okay. Good. I'll,
Yeah. And that too, Jeff, you know, that's where we've got a great resource with being able to brainstorm on the Facebook group.
Mm. You know?
Because everything from the song selection, I mean, I'm sure often you have kind of a set show with certain songs.
Sure.
The bands you're covering for have massive song libraries. And so if you're not using all the songs, just in choosing which songs fit the theme better than others, et cetera. And yeah, to your point, Robert, the customization can work in as simply as highlighting a logo at some point, like doing magic or the pickpocketing. It's like you could fake pickpocket a company item out of, you know, somebody's pocket. You know, you pickpocket them and look what it is. It happens to be the company logo or whatever, you know, it comes out of the wallet or whatever. I mean, there's so many ways. Or it can be, for me, I always think metaphorically. And so I often will take existing acts and weave in a storyline that then ties in. And so it can be the whole show, it can be a few acts, it can be a few punchlines. I mean, there's so many different ways to do it. And I think it is one of the most powerful things we can do in terms of adding value, in terms of creating the perceived value in the customer's mind. Why are we paying you $10,000 instead of paying Joe Bob Magician $500? Because I'm going to customize this to your message. Not everyone has the ability to take this stuff and make it about what you do. That's a great selling point. And again, it can just be done so many different ways. So
yeah.
If you're getting stuck in ideas, throw it out to the group for us to brainstorm with you, and soon we'll come up with
love
it.
That somebody
it's so fun.
You have to
thing, if they're launching a product that is pocket size, I could give that to someone in the beginning of the show and just steal it over and over and over again. I just can't keep my hands off this product.
Right. And again, it doesn't even have to be a pocket-sized product. You know, it's like you can get a lot of little tiny plastic desktop computers, laptops, whatever, and there's so many little facsimiles. You know, it doesn't have to be the actual product. It can be a facsimile of the product.
Yeah.
So, you know, just limitless possibilities for how to do it. You just have to start thinking in that way.
And Sven, you know, more to your point, what you're saying, I just think that because all of us in this group are going to show up in a certain way compared to all the other entertainers out there, I mean, that right there has so much value. I mean, just if we did everything that we learn here, then we'll overwhelm them with value. If we do a couple of things, we're going to stand head and shoulders above the rest of the competition. So, yeah, definitely, definitely.
I tried to aim for 10% of this will change your life. So that was my, that was my goal in overloading this thing, really. Just do, you know, 10% of it to your proposals and your clients when you're there, and it, you'll see it. So yeah, that's great. Good. Let me think if what else I want.
I have one question about the email things you talked about earlier, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You discussed seeing when they open the email. But do you have something, if you notice that they haven't answered for a few emails, will you then call them, or?
Then I assume that they're not connecting with the message somehow. And then I just instantly will call or email, or, you know, if we moved on to something where I can text or shoot them a Skype, I just say, is there someone on the committee who's not understanding that it would benefit us to move forward with? I completely, you know, I believe in the product so much, and I'll plant this in your guys' head. How's your business run if you believe in your business so much that you're not afraid of harassing people? You know, if it could be misconstrued as harassment, how would you act? You know, if you just know that this is going to be something that is going to change your life. I mean, certainly at a trade show, you know that it's going to do that. At an after dinner, 90-minute award ceremony where people are zoning out and checking their text 10 minutes into it. Mm-hmm. They've seen that year after year, and they know the hell of it. So do I believe in my thing enough to know that if I make 3 appearances, the opening, or maybe even 4, you know, the opening and then 15 minutes in, 40 minutes in at the top of the hour, and then one to close it? Could I tell someone with so much confidence that your award ceremony won't even look like anything you've ever seen? To the point where they may go, man, you're like, you're crawling up our ass with this. Yeah, because I don't want it to be the same way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sucks what you've been doing. I've sat at those.
So what was you started to give us this lovely sentence that we asked them
is there someone on your team who...
And it started with, is there someone on your committee that...
Yeah. Is there someone at your committee who's not seeing the picture that you and I see around this thing?
Is not seeing how it's going to benefit everyone to move forward.
Yeah, because there always is. There's someone who's just not seeing it. And if you can get that person on a Skype, if you can get a CVI in front of them, you know, you can get a video proposal in front of them, you can often turn that person around.
Because this is the situation I have now. I did my pickpocket lecture for the Swedish police school, and it went really well. Raised to the sky after the lecture. Everybody loved it, and got a lot of nice word at the event. And then I asked to get a testimonial, and they said, all right, email us at that date. I did. I got one response to go a little later, and now we email them every week for 3 weeks. No response. I'm more worried about losing the contact than getting the testimonial. But what should I do on this point?
Well, if it's just for a testimonial, not for the gig. Sorry, I cut out in the second in the middle. Did you say you've already done the show for them and you just want a testimonial?
No, I don't even care about the testimonial anymore. I just want to keep a good relationship with the contact.
Good.
And I'm afraid that they might, because it's the police school, maybe they regretted giving a testimonial, and that's why they don't want to answer my email. because it's a little sensitive with the police in Sweden.
Sure. Yeah. No, I could see that.
Yeah. So there, I mean, I immediately think in terms of the relationship building, which is all about, you know, I've noticed that it seems like it's hard for you to get this back to me, or it sounds like maybe you're really busy, or I'm concerned that maybe because you are the Swedish police agency, there's some sensitivity issues here. The more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know, there might be issues for you here. I just want to let you know, if you can do it, great. If not, it's totally not critical. I've got hundreds of other clients to get testimonials for them, you know, so let them off the hook in a way that shows that you value the relationship and you don't want to put them in a bind.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand that there may be a bond. You understand where they're coming from. You know who they are. You know them as a client. You know, I mean, that's my first instinct.
That's good. But if they don't open the email, is it time to call them and maybe tell them that immediately? Because I see on Mago now that they're not opening the emails.
Right. And I'm just a little confused, Robert. Is this for a show or is this for a testimonial? You're trying to get them to open the emails.
It started as a testimonial. I already did the show and it went really well.
Gotcha. Now you're saying, so let it go.
Yeah. You know,
either let it go. There's two ways that I do on testimonials. I give it my standard introduction, which I outline on Get More Corporate Gigs, which you can look up. And then if that doesn't work, I actually write them one and send it to them in an email body and just say, if this works for you, I'd love it on some letterhead paper. And shoot it back to me. I just write it for them based off stuff they said at the gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just write it for them. Oftentimes, it's rarely about you.
Mm-hmm.
So jump to that technique though. Just write it for them and say, if this is cool, put it on some paper and send it to me. If not, you know, no problem. And let's start talking about our next date.
Yeah, it would seem like a great way to do that would be to say, you know, I remember you saying after the gig, quote, you know, and write what you remember them saying. So it makes it really easy for them to feel good about. Oh yeah, I did say that, you know.
Yep.
I have no problem having him just put that down for me.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Hey, did anything come up from Larry Benet's for you guys, any connection challenge stuff, standing in that position with relationships? Did anything come up you want
to talk? Yeah, that's something for me. I was just curious what the longest frequency should be that you would go before connecting with that person again.
Oh, so you've done his connection challenge. You touched base with somebody, you checked in, and did you get a, did it?
No. I'm saying like, let's say you are connected with somebody. When is like the longest you should wait, I guess, to not wait. Obviously, if an opportunity comes up, you should connect with them. But like, how long would be too long? Of not connecting back with the same person again.
Tell me, I guess I'm just a little bit confused about, is this someone that you've contacted because of Larry Benet's connection challenge, or is this someone you're in a five-step sales funnel with?
It's totally hypothetical. I was just saying, like, if it had seemed like it was a long time, I don't know, is like 3 months a long time? Is...
Gotcha. Just reach out and touch in with someone and make a connection to satisfy the connection. Oh gosh, years. Doesn't matter. Oh my God, I would go back. I went back. I did in 2016, it was a leap year, and I did a 366-day connection challenge. Every day of the year, 2016, I reached back to them. You get pretty creative around March.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's past clients. It's people I met at a TED conference. Who's a producer of a TV show. Just what's going on in your life? Is there anything that me or someone in my network could help you out with?
Yeah. And then after you connected with somebody who you maybe haven't talked to in a couple of years, when would be like the next time you would talk to them? Like the longest you would wait?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So, you know, I don't make it my point to, you know, become their new best friend or start becoming a stalker or someone they feel I have to answer. I make the connection challenge a place to just keep finding out what people are doing.
Yeah.
Even it can end after that, Colin, honestly, you know, if I hear that I talked to a guy who produced Comic Strip Live, this TV show we did 11 of back in the 90s, just reached out to him and said, what are you up to nowadays? And it was so interesting. He was doing these documentaries and things. I said, gosh, I think I know a couple people, and I connected them. We had one more talk after that, but then it's on the radar and it's been reestablished. So the more dots we have floating in the air, the more, the shorter the lines will be between them.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Really good.
And I think the one thing that you didn't bring up, Barry, that struck me is that we are very unique people in the in the world of business. The world of business doesn't deal with magicians and jugglers and singers and musicians every day. They remember us for years, you know, and those of us that are older that are part of this group will know what I'm talking about, you know. You know, I've gotten calls from people and said, I've had your business card on my bureau for 20 years, and I have an event, you know. And so for us, and I'm with you, you know, I'm real shy about reaching out to people. I feel like I'm intruding. And what Larry Benet's thing did for me is, you know, it gave me that language of, you know, what can I help you with? Who can I connect you to? What are you doing and how can I help you? And you know what? I did it. I took the challenge yesterday. I reached out to a client who I really haven't worked for in about 5 years. But before that, I did like 50 trade shows for her during, you know, from like she's my best client ever, you know, and
wow.
We had, you know, long, long relationship from 1993 to about to the recession when her company that she was finally working for got sold. But I reached back to her and I just said, Diane, haven't heard from you for such a long time. Are you still bird watching? That's her thing. I knew that.
Awesome.
And you know, what are you up to? And she told me she's still working for this new company. And then she said, do you remember Mary? She's looking for a job now in marketing. If you know anybody, blah, 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 blah. So she like came back to me, you know, and I wish I was more connected to people so I could say, ooh, here's a great woman.
You will be.
Yeah, well, right. But it worked. You know, the point is she responded with a paragraph. She was thrilled to hear from me. And I think that's what we have to remember is that these people are thrilled to hear from us.
Mm. Yeah, and anytime any of us, you know, even just walking down the street and a total stranger says, hey, I really like that shirt or whatever, you're in the grocery store and a little conversation with the clerk, that human connection is one of the foundational elements of human existence. It's one of the most important needs that we humans have. So when you reach out to a past client and share with them meaningful human connection, you are ingraining yourself in their mind, in their body, in their cells as a person they like, you know, and that is priceless, you know.
And so he, man, and Larry has really figured this out.
Oh.
I mean, but you could tell by his enthusiasm, even though the video connection was really, you know, weak. You know?
I talked to him. I said, dude, plug your computer in before this call. And he goes, oh, yeah, I will. And he didn't.
It didn't matter, though. It came. He's incredibly. I mean, the vibe that came out of him, you can see why he's so successful in what he does. But
definitely,
you know, there's really a sense that, you know, and I was trying to, if we could all, you know, get 25% of what he has, you know, we would be enormously successful. Yep. And it gave me just this way to talk to people that I've never really done before, is that, you know, if you can truly make it come from the heart, you know, when you're talking to people, your business relationships will be better.
Mm. So funny that the way, I'm glad you got that from it, Danny. It's so funny the way that he was introduced to me. He was on stage speaking at an event and I was so floored. Ended up just going up to him and actually using his line on him after his talk. And we ended up having lunch with me, with I think three others of it. And I'm like, wow, that was just from doing that. And then, yeah, then the ongoing connections, and he calls and sings happy birthday on my birthday. And then inviting him on to Showbiz Blueprint. And I thought, to me, he seemed like it would take a year or so to acquire and, you know, drink his Kool-Aid, but I'm so glad that it sunk through and you did it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Neat.
I have a question. Are there tools to manage all these connections? Like, are you just going out of your, you know, your whatever, your contact book, or is there some way to kind of keep track? You
know, yeah, like CRM software can help. CRM software can help. You know,
yes. CRM software is huge for this kind of thing, Mick. I mean, it's massive.
And what is that, CRM?
Yeah, customer relationship
management.
Yep.
Software. They're usually browser extensions for Chrome or things like that, but you can, and I believe Mago, you know, handles quite a bit of that CRM functionality as well.
It's beautiful. I mean, and really, so you add a new lead to Mago or your CRM, whatever you're going to use, and you just tag them as something, and then they get put into, this is an old acquaintance, this is a current client, and it's all different funnels that happens from there. So you can just tell the software, hey, show me all my old acquaintances, and you're somewhere on your phone, you go, oh my God, I'm talking to that person, you pop it in and tag it with the old acquaintance, and that becomes another part of your connection list. So, I mean, Danny had the great line, I wish I was more connected to someone, and you know, in 6 months of doing this kind of thing, someone will go, oh, Mary's looking for the sales job. You're like, oh, here's two people you should probably talk to right now. And it's just wonderful. It's a great inventory to build. Larry.
You know, ironically, Danny will end up probably knowing more about marketing than the person who's asking you if you can connect her with somebody. You know, I mean, really, at the end of the day, you'll know more about sales funnels and internet marketing through this course alone than most people in any marketing, especially any like casino marketing, you know, department.
Yeah.
Total. I was just on the phone with the casino marketing department today, and getting back to what this, you know, whole conversation is about, just as far as talking to these people, I just really try to be as real and as, you know, conversational as possible. I mean, I usually figure if you can get them, you know, laughing at something or some sort of shared experience or shared person contact that, you know, I mean, they just try to keep it light, you know, as much as possible.
There's more than one alumni of this group who we'll all meet when you guys come in this other group. And I don't want to mention any names, but they have taken this idea of outsourcing, and, you know, someone like who talked to you, Danny, and said, you know, someone was looking for a job. And that was enough of a connection to say, would you be interested at all in selling for me? And that person is now handling a couple different acts, who wasn't an entertainer, but loved so much the idea of conversational calling, of scaling the contacts they have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, is there something for Mary, even in Danny Orleans, at someday, you know, how great is it to be able to, yeah, it's big. So.
Yeah. If you can help their marketing department, you know, market better, who do you think they're going to call when they need a magician too? I mean, hey, the guy that helped us with our marketing.
Barry, have you ever hired someone to walk around a trade show that you are working to try to bring other exhibitors over to your booth to see how successful you can make a booth?
No, but that's beyond brilliant. Have you done that?
I've done it a couple of times. You know Ken Newman in San Francisco, right? He does it all the time.
Smart, yeah.
And so, you know what you all have to realize about trade shows, it's such a bizarre situation. It's a great situation for the entertainer because you're literally performing in a room. It's like a showcase, really. It's like a showcase, except it's not artificial, because showcases are artificial because the audiences aren't real. They're all made up of professional talent buyers, right? Even if they're just PTA ladies, you know, then the kids aren't there. So they're all artificial. But a trade show is real because you can show anybody in the room that has an exhibit how great you can make their exhibit. All they have to do is walk over and watch. So you can pay somebody. I mean, you have to get the difference between hiring somebody doing that and doing a lot of the things that we're talking about, like on the Fiverr site or the Moms That Can Help or whatever the name of that site was.
Yeah, yeah, Hire My Mom.
You know,
yeah.
You need a real professional salesperson. So you're right. Like I can talk to Mary and say, Mary, I'm going to give you $400 for the day to walk around this trade show I'm going to be at in Chicago. And here's what you have to do, you know. And you need somebody that's comfortable in the trade show environment, that's great with people, that can communicate your sales message. So it's definitely taking it a level up, but
Mary's good at sales and lives in Minneapolis and you're in Chicago and she has a couple clients, would she be interested in training, you know, sitting with you for a handful of hours to really learn the inside of your business and then pitching you out?
You know, she's booked me before, you know, she knows my business. She knows what I do. She knows the value of it. She worked for Hewlett Packard when they were one of my clients, and you know, she gets it. She knows what I do. It would be an interesting idea. And actually, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I have a show coming up in Chicago and maybe I can hire her to do that.
Yeah. Be pretty amazing. And you know, sometimes my wife was our best salesperson ever. She worked with us for 5 years when we lived, but you know, lived with me, knew Dan and I since birth, but it was instant when she got on the phone that she could make something happen and connect in with that. And
why did she quit?
she went back to graduate school, and you know, it was fine, and it was never a long-term job, but it was one of these things that, like, wow, it was maybe the bosses weren't paying her enough, I don't know. But there's some possibility there, but there is something wonderful about people who aren't in the industry, who aren't on the stage. And if you have someone who's good at sales, this is sales. This is a brilliant sales. This is a exponential sales. So, you know, what we bring to events is beyond anything that they could ever get from a lot of their other investments. So, yeah. Hey, Danny, what have you seen? Alan wrote, what have you seen for rates as magicians? I mean, I know all the way from a couple hundred dollars a day at a trade show up to, you know, the great Joel Bauer stories of, you know, 50K yeah. a day. So.
What? 50K a day?
Well,
he ain't normal, but yeah, that's.
He ain't normal. And
that may be, exactly, I don't know.
And I heard 30, but that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me that a lot. And I have a lecture that I do for magicians on trade shows. And, you know, it's, and I was talking to a guy last night who, you know, a young guy, he's 25, but he does this iPad magic and, you know, a major household name in the world of, handheld communication has come to him and wants him to work a booth. And he wanted to charge him $3,500 a day. I mean, on that's big money for a magician at a trade show compared to what the going rate is. So there's the long answer to the question is, it really depends on the venue. And Barry mentioned this earlier, and he's so right. How big is the booth? What is the client spending? Are they doing a $20,000 booth, or are they doing a $1 million booth?
Yep.
And so that's going to really dictate their budget. But for me, you know, when you get a client for the first time, it doesn't matter what I charge.
Right.
And it isn't, am I available? It's that I want to work for that client the first time, because unlike any other type of, well, not any other, but and unlike most other corporate gigs, you can, you know, I have clients that I work for, you know, 10 days a year, 15 days a year, 30 days a year. Year after year after year. So
yeah, it's got a repeatability that's much higher than normal gigs.
Yes, might even exactly. Higher than normal. And so therefore you want to get it. For me, my strategy is I don't want money to be a factor the first time I work. Right.
Introductory pricing becomes a really great thing. And it's also a great way to open up that whole dialogue of price, is when they ask, you say, this is my normal rate.
Right.
Because this is a very repeat business, I'm always willing to offer an introductory rate. Let them decide what they want to pay.
That's what I do. That's what I do. You know, and it's not what Barry says to do, but, you know, it's worked very well for me. I've gotten, you know, many big name clients, long-term relationships, and okay, I gave up a few thousand dollars the first time. Maybe I didn't have to. Maybe. But in the big picture, it doesn't matter.
Yep. No.
So, but so the short answer to the question is, $1,500 a day to $2,000 a day. That's what most magicians charge. Not all, but if you were to do a normal curve, you know, the people that are doing 5 to 15 shows a year, trade shows a year. So that would be, remember, a show is usually 2 or 3 days. You know, that's the rate they would be getting plus their expenses. Sometimes if they're smart enough to ask for it, plus a script writing fee. And if they're smart enough to know how to do it, plus they sell them magic tricks to give away at the trade show that are branded with their company on it.
Are these 10 to 15 or maybe like $10,000 to $20,000 trade show things? Are they, they're not booth things? Those are like full shows. Is that what that is? Or is that not even,
I don't understand your question. Try it again.
Like, cause they're, like Barry was saying, they have the, the morning breakfast and the ceremonies, and sometimes you have people like hosts, but these are all within like the trade show realm. And then there's like the booth aspect of the trade.
So what I'm talking about now is just the booth aspect.
Yeah.
I have a couple of clients that also have a party at night and they want me to work that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll do an add-on usually.
So are those the bigger paying gigs within the trade show market, like the full shows? I don't know. What's your thoughts on that, Barry?
Phrase it one more time. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry. I know that for some gigs you can get, I don't know, like anywhere like 5 to 20 grand or something, and for a trade show, but that is sometimes not the booth. That's like like hosting something, like emceeing something, or doing a
right, full so another appearance. Yeah.
Okay. So those are like appearances, and then there's the booth performing, which is a lower fee.
It might be, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to what Danny's saying here, and it just has no bearing on the numbers I ever did trade shows for. I was just looking up the last trade show I did, 2014, Salt Lake City Fusion IO had a massive booth at this thing. And that was a $47,000 contract for 3 days.
Right.
Incredible.
But you know, you have to remember Barry and Joe are you're far the exception.
I know.
And you're hired, you know, you know, they probably put you on a big stage that was real high up.
Massive, with a lot of seats.
Right, with seats. And they probably had a $40,000 lighting package, too, that they had above you.
Yeah.
You
know? We've got one at the Restaurant Association for Ecolab, and it's just at the front of their booth. They've got a big booth, and it's a 3-day contract, and it's for $36,000.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that show's right in Chicago. They're a huge exhibitor at that booth. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
That'll be great. So there is a range, and I didn't want to say that's normal, but I do want to say it's wonderful that Danny has those numbers, which are standard. If you walk in and say, I'm going to grab some crowd. And then there's the stuff that can happen if we are proactive in selling an opportunity.
And the bigger point is like anybody can work up to that, which is...
God, hell yeah.
And you know what? It's really dictated by their overall budget. So like, you know, Mick just mentioned, you know, Ecolab, they have a giant booth. They're probably spending $500,000 to be at the NRA, the National Restaurant Association. You know, where most of my clients are in 10 by 20 booths. They're spending $50,000 to $100,000. It really scales.
Yep.
You know, think about it as, you know, the difference between a kid's birthday party and a state fair, you know, it just scales. So if you can find a client that has a huge budget and you are a big enough act that you know you can draw it, you know, and you can have 100 to 200 people standing around watching you, as I'm sure a knife throwing act would, or a juggling act that has a sense of danger.
Yep.
You know, there's a few acts over time that I have seen at trade shows that play so huge. Do you remember, Barry, do you remember the guy who used to throw paint at the...
Oh, yeah, Denny Dent.
Denny Dent. You know, he used to get... You should Google DennyDent.com. He died a number of years ago, but his website, I think, is still up, and he used to throw paint at canvases and draw these huge canvases. Oh, they were 10 feet by 10 feet of like, rock stars.
I saw him at a trade show once. I forget the show, but he was doing this thing and it just looked like somebody barfed on the thing, and he flipped it over and it was their product, and I was like,
turns it upside down and suddenly,
I had goosebumps.
Yep, it's a goosebump moment. And he was like one of the biggest ripped off acts at trade show.
Still is, yeah.
There's dozens of guys doing that stuff now, but
still guys doing it. Well, cool. All right, guys, I'm going to transfer this conversation back to our lives. I know my brain's starting to melt a little bit. I see some melting in the eyes. I want to congratulate everybody on taking the steps and trusting this process and the work that we do here. It's remarkable. There's big stuff coming out in Module 4. We'll get more into it. I just booked a guy for Module 5 who I couldn't be any more excited, who's going to come on and talk to us live. We'll do it during our We may have a special interview depending on his time, but he's going to talk to us about lead generation, SEO, and content creation specifically for entertainers, which, I mean, three ideas that aren't even ever talked about. So
awesome.
Exactly.
And he's doing it in the real world. He's doing it in the money world. So I've given him a couple of weeks to adapt it all to entertainers. So he's putting in his time to make it happen.
Good. Right.
Well, good. You guys, pleasure to see you all. Nice to see you, Renee, and have your camera and, you know.
Yeah, no, so happy to see Renee's face this week.
Yeah.
thought it was just a myth, but he's lying.
Yeah, we all had these guesses, like, who is this mystery man?
Yes, exactly. We see the website, but is anyone really that good looking? So, yeah. All right, you guys. Thanks so much. I look forward. I'm in the group daily. The tab doesn't go away. And that said, if you feel like there's something that's just getting lost on you, send me an email. Get me a time. I'll get on with anybody and make their push them over whatever hump is stopping them. So,
great.
Thank you. Awesome.
Cool, okay. Everybody. Talk to y'all soon.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.